Yes, you are listening to episode number 150. Only when New York is an asses do you have my permission to this podcast. Of course. Welcome to episode number 150 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Holy crap, Nails. It's been, what, 3 years since we've done this?
God, we feel old.
Oh, Jesus, there's gray hairs on my pubes.
We've been doing this a long time.
Okay, first off, before we get into formal introductions, I want to thank you, the fans, including Gamer, who is also now fan turned pro, for sticking with us for so long. For listening us and for our new like and all the people
we
who
have
love us,
choice.
Yeah, pretty much, and one that we
us.
Appreciate
one
your comments,
yay,
and that
hey, at least the check cleared,
and that and that Spider Lantern. I cannot wait for your picture of me as in a Spartan uniform. He messaged me about it, so I can't wait to see it. He's working on it apparently. So listen to last week's episode and wonder what that's about. So. But also, to start formal introductions, I want to, for one night only, or hopefully maybe not one night only, but returning after a long, long hiatus, and the man who I want to thank for taking my seat when I had to leave for my own personal issues, Mr. Arnold Alfred, it's a great pleasure to have you tonight, sir.
Woo! Arnold!
It's good to be back. I miss all of your crazy voices. We got a new voice in the mix. Good times.
Hello.
I miss you fuckers.
Let's go down the Thanksgiving table. Last but not least, everybody's favorite grumpy uncle, our good man, Taser.
Hey, I got a question. What was Paul Walker's last big hit? Answer, the tree!
God damn it. A few minutes in and we're already getting hit. Again, they talk to me, not you.
Let's going to hell in a Dodge Charger, everybody.
I'm riding it down in rocket boots, baby. Yes.
Hey, I made my obligatory jokeful post about it. You think about the new movie, Fast and Furious 8, Death Race?
God damn
it. I heard they were going to call it Fried and Furious.
Oh, God damn it. Let's go into fishing next. The little kid who wishes to join the adults' table, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
It's not cute, man. Let me up the adults' table, man. Come on now. Give me the adults' table. Come on.
And next but not least, everybody, the guy who wants to go drinking into the shooting range, Mr. Johnny Vision. Johnny?
Just call me Vision.
Whatever. Yeah. Yes, I did.
Johnny Vision? I'll run with it.
Sounds like a professional wrestler name.
Fearless.
Somebody hide his boomstick.
Brian, weren't you, like, jerking off to the Teletubbies when we first started this show? Like, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, come on.
Shut up!
That's what was happening when we first started the show. That's how long it's been.
Yeah, he was spanking it off to Misty.
Yeah. Sun baby. You were jerking off to that sun baby.
Hey, man. Hentai is an art form.
All right, and last but not least, our resident new person, Mr. Jonathan Cartwright. Welcome for the show.
Hey, thank you again once again, and congrats on it being 150. I was kind of wondering there for a while. Sometimes during the parts of the year, it seemed like it was 5 years between episodes, but glad to hear
you. It's really not professionally etiquette to talk to you. Yeah. Whatever, we'll talk later. It's fine. Let's keep professional.
What did I do?
All right.
Anarchy!
Anyways, I trust we all had a great Thanksgiving, and hopefully none of us were arrested on Black Friday.
Turkey all... killing day! Woohoo!
Somebody's got to kill
the turkey drop. For all you old folks that know that reference.
Like it's hot.
All right, well, let's get right into it. Brian, we have news.
We do have news. I guess we'll start off with the most meager piece. Marvel dropped another one-word teaser a couple days ago. The word? Future. Written by Jason Latour and Mahmoud Asrar, coming March 2014. What could it be for? Well, boys and girls, let's dive in. There are a few concepts being tossed around, one of which being that it could pertain to Spider-Man 2099, a.k.a. Miguel O'Hara, who is now present in Superior Spider-Man. Another thing it could pertain to is possibly the current X-Men franchise. Near the fall of the Battle of the Atom, some things went down. So, to putting it mildly, but could this be the rise of another new X-book? Only time will tell. What do you guys think?
Let's go, Arnold, let's go to you first, since you've been away for a while. Let's go to you first, Arnold.
Yeah, the Miguel O'Hara thing, I hadn't put much thought into it because I actually only saw it maybe like an hour or so ago. The Miguel O'Hara thing is credible, and going by the color scheme, because I know it's kind of, it's like faded blue and red kind of fitting into each other. I'm all for it. I dig Miguel O'Hara. I like Spidey 2099, who is now, I guess, technically Spidey 2014. At this rate, since he's stuck in our timeline and can't really get back home, I'm totally down for a Miguel O'Hara book. It's been a while since we've seen him in a book. I think the last time we saw him was in a limited series called like Timeline or Time Storm or some shit like that that happened briefly. So it'd be totally good to see some more of him in a separate book. I didn't really think X-Men. That's an interesting theory. That one didn't hit me as one that it could be, because I know the next thing that's supposed to be going down X-Men-wise is, I think, the Shi'ar are trying to put Jean Grey on trial and some stupidity.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even know about that.
They're coming up down the line at some point. The Shi'ar decided it's going to be a good idea to put the young Jean Grey on trial.
But she didn't do anything.
Of course.
Okay.
Bitch. Definitely. When have things ever made sense when it comes to the X-Men? Remember, Wanda's still around running free.
Well, we'll talk about that later. So
I would just like to point out that though Jean Grey didn't technically do anything, she was kind of a bitch. Just saying.
Kind of? She's a see you next Tuesday. I'm saying it.
the young Jean Grey that's present now? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She's playing with them young boys' hearts, man. She's a heartbreaker.
Like all teen girls do. All them do.
All right. So let's go to you, B-Ray.
Go back to the 1960s where we could hit you without shame, Jean Grey.
God damn it.
Wow.
You misogynistic asshole. What have you done?
That here? Kind of show.
I'm taking the Hank Pym course. How am I doing so far?
Doing good there.
You can hit a woman. Of course you can. They have faces.
Brian, what do you think of what future could mean?
As far as Miguel O'Hara goes, I've never actually been particularly tied to the character, but that's just because I'm not in the grand sense, a Spider-Man fanboy. He never really appealed to me. So that's that. If it's a Miguel O'Hara, I could take it or leave it. The X-Men, however, could be an interesting development. Considering that some select mutants from the future did stay behind after Battle of the Atom, it could be a series focusing on them tracking down other mutants, et cetera, et cetera. So if that pans out, I'd definitely be down to read that, because Battle of the Atom as a whole I thought was interesting. You know, along with the other 20,000 X-Men future storylines that they got out in Marvel. So if it pans out to be that, I'll be more on board than I am for the whole Spider-Man 2099 thing, but I'm just kind of neutral about it for right now until we get more information, because I've never actually heard of either of these guys on this book. So, yeah, that about sums it up.
Okay. Let's go to our Walter and the other guy whose name I don't remember. Let's go
Statler
first.
And Waldorf?
Yeah, whatever. I don't give a shit. I never liked the Muppets growing up as a kid.
What?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
I'm a cop.
Good.
I didn't. I just didn't. I was like, fuck.
Dude.
I saw the movies,
but... Bring back the frog!
I saw the movies, but I was never into them. I was like, okay.
That's for you, Dave. Big Daddy Dave.
Dave already hates me for making fun of his love with the JSA. Anyways, Let's go to Jonathan first. What do you think this potential future means?
Oh, I have no clue. The way they're doing all these teasers, and I'm like, it could be, like you said, could be X-Men, but I'm like, good Lord, they don't really need another title. But, you know, that's just how they are.
There's a lot of mutants.
Yeah, no shit. That's one of the reasons why I stopped reading them for so damn long. It sounds interesting. I'm really kind of hoping that it may be Miguel O'Hara getting his own title. And if so, I'll be on board, even if it's people I've never heard of, as long as it's good writing and decent art and they can do him justice, I'll be all for it. But otherwise, I'm just like, would you quit with the one-word teasers? They're getting to be aggravating. So, I mean, yes, that's my opinion. That's all I can say about it.
All right. Johnny V, what do you think the future means?
I'm hoping it means Jean Grey gets punched through her ovaries.
God damn it.
That would be what I would want the future to really hold. I don't really care who does it. Just right an ovary shot right through him.
I'm sure you could find something like that on DeviantArt already.
Pow! Right in the kisser. No, I'm just kidding.
Sounds like something out of Dragon Ball.
Right in the old baby maker. I don't know. I'm kind of with John on this, or Jonathan. It's enough of this. These one word teasers. They don't get me. They kind of got me excited when they first did them, but now it's just like. Especially, it's not coming out until March. I mean, the fuck on.
On what?
I wouldn't even know where to guess. Like they do different color schemes, so it kind of like the color scheme kind of like makes me want to think it could be. It could be X-Men, maybe, because it's yellow. I don't know where the purple would fit in with that, but I'll say X-Men, but I have no fucking clue. But if it is X-Men, I hope Jean Grey gets punched in her ovaries.
Taser, what do you think this is?
It's not the Guardians of the Galaxy from the future. Don't give a rat's ass. I mean, really, I don't care. I was never into Spider-Man 2099 and... Boo, bah, humbug. Let's move on.
Aw. I think it's Gambit 2099. Whatever.
Yeah, that's even worse.
You know, honestly, I'm surprised nobody said it, but the first thing when I saw Future, because I don't know if Future Foundation is going to be ended, which, you know, probably will be. I immediately thought, oh, Future Foundation number one. Or FF number one or some shit like that. That's what I thought. But I do agree. I would not mind a Spider-Man 2099 new ongoing because, Lord knows, I need some kind of Spider-Man book that I'm going to enjoy. And I don't have that right now because Ultimates is kind of in this weird Galactus is in their neighborhood fucking up shit. And, of course, we all know how I feel about Superior Spider-Man. I have yet to read an issue yet, and I continue to keep it that way. So I refuse.
I would just like to point out, though, that if, you know, Reyes does get his own book, then it's not Spider-Man 2099. It's Spider-Man 2014.
I'd rather read.
Yeah, it's so.
I'd rather read.
A, that's what Arnold said. Yeah. B, his name's not Reyes. It's O'Hara.
That's the same thing. He's half Chicano.
You're getting ahead of yourself. We're going to cover that in the last segment on the show.
He's half Italian. I don't know, but I'm just saying, hey. You know.
Miguel O'Hara, he's Portuguese and Irish.
Is he Portuguese and Irish?
The same thing.
Know.
He's Hispanic.
I'm bullshitting.
He's from England.
Clue.
I think I would much rather read him over Doc Ock Spidey. That's what I'm trying to say. In terms of characters.
Yeah, but Doc Ock Spidey kicked the shit out of Black Cat. I gotta get some props.
I don't like Doc Ock Spidey. That's the thing. I don't like him. I don't want him around.
I saw that at A-Train's house. I was like,
I don't like Doc Ock Spidey. That's the thing. And I would much rather
read. Neither do I, but her getting her ass beat was funny.
Yeah, I don't read the book, so I don't know. I gotta see that, because I want to see. How the fuck? Never mind. Alright. That's what I think it is. I'm gonna move my chips on Spider-Man 2014, as we're gonna call it now. Maybe they'll relaunch Amazing Spider-Man with Miguel O'Hara as the lead. That would make me so fucking happy. So yeah. What's next on the news, Brian?
Okay, coming down the line. Hey kids, do you like Amazing Spider-Man the movie?
Eh.
It was okay.
Eh.
Well, good, because you're going to be getting a whole lot more of it if what we ascertained from a direct quote from Sony Pictures co-chairman Amy Pascal said, quote, "We are going to access Marvel's full world with Spider-Man characters, so be on the lookout for new heroes and villains," end quote.
Aunt May's getting a spinoff. Woohoo! Porn.
Sex and the City, where Aunt May's the old one.
Awesome. Bodysuit, yes.
So, of course, that quote, the fanboys got all crazy, hot and bothered, and they decided, oh, that means they're going to be working on a franchise. Which they very well could be, although I'm not sure how much there is to take from a Spider-Man franchise. But, thankfully, we have some ideas thrown around. Aranya, who is now Spider-Girl. Black Cat, possibly. The Spider-Clones, like Ben Reilly.
Oh, God. My stomach. My stomach. Why?
These and more have been names thrown around as the most lucky candidates to receive a solo film treatment. Now, what this means in terms of the Amazing Spider-Man franchise itself remains to be seen, as there's no word going on if it's going to be a fourth film to this trilogy coming forward, which it probably will be if it makes enough money. But yeah, that's sort of where the Amazing Spider-Man franchise finds itself, sort of in a limbo, whereas anything could happen. Although that does sort of question how long they can go on without actually clashing with the actual Marvel Cinematic Universe over, you know, across the street.
I don't know. You know what's interesting that I hear when you read the list? I'm surprised they didn't try to do the Agent Venom thing, that wasn't on the priority. Or Venom, period.
In a Remender's run?
Well, that too, but, like, just Venom in general. Like, you would think, like, they... Sony has a huge hard-on for that. For that freaking piece of property.
Well, they did that short that they released at Comic-Con by the same guy who did Punisher Dirty Laundry. I think, has any of you seen that?
Was that like Sony?
I've seen Dirty Laundry.
They got the guy from True Blood who plays Sookie's brother to play Eddie Brock, and it was actually
A-Train's
pretty cool.
Love Fest. A-Train loves that guy.
Pretty sure that was the guy. Anyway, yeah, they made like they did with Punisher Dirty Laundry, they made a short film based around these guys following Eddie Brock around as he plays investigative reporter, but supposedly there's more
to
it than
that. No, what I'm saying is, like, I was surprised that wasn't on the list of, like, we want to make a Venom movie when they've been adamant on this character since at least post-Spider-Man 2 back
in the day. I think it's because they don't know how to do Venom. I mean,
even that, like, okay,
so easy.
So Aranya is on there? Aranya is on there, and...
God, you just love rolling that.
I can't help but do it, okay?
It's in his blood, man. Come
it's
on.
Like you say. It's like you say.
Aranya needs to get out of my country.
Hey, if they do Aranya, I want Tarantula, damn it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be.
So, I don't know. Just do Venom. Just fuck it. You know they want to do Venom. They'll do Venom first, if
Jesus.
Anything else.
Disney, just write the goddamn check. If it's $2 billion, if it's $2 billion, just write $2 billion.
Well, you don't want him to just crap out a Venom movie. I mean, come on now.
No, he wants trying to keep Disney to buy the Spider-Man license back from Sony.
Just write the check, Disney, Jesus.
I don't know.
They gotta have the money.
They got it somewhere.
They've got it. They've gotta have it.
Yeah. One day's take from Disney World and Disneyland would pay for it.
They're waiting for Star Wars, the next movie, to come out before they cash that check.
I guarantee you Mickey has it in his jerk-off sock drawer.
And have you seen the size of his feet? Woohoo!
Throws it at Minnie after the job is done. Get the fuck out! No.
That's why Minnie's so uptight. His feet are too big.
Oh! All right. Where he's putting it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get that off topic.
No, it's cool.
That's what
it's
really want to happen.
Arno, it's 150, we're allowed to
do
this.
Yeah, pretty much.
What?
Arno, what do you think about this potential franchisee of The Amazing Spider-Man?
It depends on who they pick. Like we were saying, I mean, how large of a staple of quote-unquote heroic people do we have? And I, too, am surprised that they didn't try to throw in Venom in there in some fashion and do a whole anti-hero kind of movie, even if it's not Flash Thompson or who, you know, whichever route they go. I'm surprised that didn't come up in the mix somewhere. Aranya's cool, I guess. I mean, future story-wise or, like, character-wise, there's no reason they couldn't do a Spidey 2099 movie.
That's not Peter Parker, that's why. That's what the studios will think, the audience will think. But truly,
they're saying right now with Superior Spider-Man.
Exactly. and or with Miles Morales. Like, there's no Peter Parker in the comics universe anyway.
Don't remind me.
In terms of comic-wise, so I'm surprised that didn't come into the mix, and that's another one, like a futuristic Batman Beyond movie, I think could lend really well to the screen. And you can even throw into that whole look where our world's going kind of deal with all the big corporation type stuff and Alchemax and the giant buildings and, all that kind of crazy shit.
That'd be
cool. Look really good on screen. And
yes,
I think Miguel O'Hara is a fun enough Spider-Man and a cool enough Spider-Man that he could work really well on screen as well.
Can I say something real quick before you?
Yeah, go for it.
Then they can point at Warner Brothers like, ha, we even got a futuristic character before you got your futuristic character on
right.
the ground.
Among
Suck
all the
it,
other
Batman.
Things in their faces.
Aww.
Aranya Kool, I guess. I mean, I don't really know, surprisingly enough, I don't know all that much about Aranya. I know maybe the most basic of basic details. So I guess that could be cool, but again, how big is Spider-Man's staple of supporting heroes that aren't linked to Avengers or X-Men or anything like that? I think might have even been mentioned in that article. Like, he was kind of a doorway to the grander Marvel Universe, so to speak, because, he had all of his team-ups and things like that. That would be kind of cool if they did, like, some kind of Spider-Man team-up movie, maybe picked him and some other, Marvel character that isn't... I guess they're all tied in Marvel at this point. So
well, he could team up with Ghost Rider.
He could.
Actually, I think Marvel got those right back,
I was
too.
Just about to say, John Stone. Does Fox still have Fantastic
yeah,
Four?
Yeah, Fox still has Fantastic
yeah.
Four.
You could do if they were willing to team up, you could do a Spidey Torch film.
That would be cool. Or a Spidey FF film in general.
Awesome. But I'm just not sure. That's what I'm kind of iffy about. As much as I would love to see
them. They're
going to
play with the X-Men, though, so.
Yeah, I don't know how well they work on their own without Spider-Man, unless they're the predominant Spider character.
Yeah.
And even if you did the clones, you run into Ben's same issue where it's not Peter Parker, people don't know him, and there's a lot to go into with even getting close to trying to put that on screen. So I don't know. Cool. I'm all about it. I'm glad that they're trying to extend Spidey a bit more, but it's just how and where.
I would almost want Clone Wars just to see the fans.
You
want to
make me cry. You want to make me cry, don't you? You fucking asshole.
I would buy you a ticket then.
Plane ticket or movie ticket?
A movie ticket.
Aw.
I'm already flying up to New York to see Guardians of the Galaxy with Taser. So
that's right, me as well. When does that come out?
Ben, you're gonna get space.
August next year.
Amazing Marvel movie ever.
I will gotta come to New York.
I will
Ben.
Bust my ass to be at the Guardians of the Galaxy movie premiere.
I am gonna try and be there as well.
You're
definitely.
Close to me. You could take a train.
I could, couldn't I? Shit, I might take a train there or a super cool fiery Dodge
you know what?
Charger.
In true Texas fashion, I will ride up in my horse.
Oh god!
Like me, bring Atlanta, except there'll be cars hitting you. So
why do you people want to see that movie? That movie looks horrible.
To be there with you to witness the awesomeness that is your emotions.
Like put it in your face.
Guys, make it here. You have to go.
Did you see that? Johnny Depp wants to put it in your face.
Look, you and him have the bromance, not me. Leave me out of that.
Oh,
okay?
Jude's gonna love this. All right. Since Taser, you're already speaking, what do you think about the potential franchising of this Super Marvel Spider-Man thingy?
Like I said, Aunt May gets a spinoff. I'm down with that. It
Aunt
could
May,
be her and what do you call it? Morgan Freeman. Like driving Miss Daisy, except more exotic.
Same as Robbie Roberts.
No, the hell with that. She's a boyfriend. Screw Robbie Roberts.
No, that's what I mean. Robbie Roberts is
taking the custodian that takes care of her petunias, but she sees he's really good with his hands.
God damn it.
Yeah, petunias, wink, wink.
I'll be perfectly honest. Aranya, I don't care. Interesting character, but I don't care enough about her. If they create a clone so we get Ben Reilly or they create Kane or whatever, I don't care about that. If it's Black Cat, depends on how they play her. And I don't mean, like we get freaking Halle Berry's Catwoman. Yeah, I don't want that. Dear God, I don't want that.
No, nobody wants
I
that.
I think they could – and also – I'm not that big a fan when it comes to Black Cat. I'm not that big a fan of criminals who have altruistic tendencies. That's just kind of bullshit to me, you know? It was like, I'm nice, but I steal. Duh. I mean, who else is there then? You know?
There is.
You know what I know what you would love? Shocker solo movie.
The Shocker!
Give him the Shocker.
All right. Now, you know, see the problem with that? You know what? If they made it a Shocker and kept him a villain, awesome.
Totally superior awesome. Of Spider-Man.
Yes, I have no problem with that. But yes. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm really trying to scratch my head thinking who they could pull forward and try to make a viable spinoff with. And I don't know.
Madam Web?
Maybe they could turn Hammerhead into a gritty noir film.
That'd be
fun. Oh, God. But you know, so anybody that they do that with would have to be introduced in like maybe the third Spider-Man movie, because I don't think they could just run that cold.
That's what I said. You couldn't have them. Venom's the only one I can think of.
No, but what I'm saying is you couldn't introduce them cold and not have Spider-Man in it. That's like Catwoman. You know, how the fuck are you going to do a Catwoman movie with no Batman?
Well, they did it. They just didn't do it.
It was fucking horrible.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the point, though. You know, like Elektra. You know Elektra, at least she had the lead in from Daredevil.
Yeah.
Elektra was a garbage movie, but at least you had that. So if you do a lead in from whichever character they use, if they do, you know, run with that, it would have to be in, you know, the third movie, or else it'll just be, who the fuck is this person, and how are they connected to Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree. So, I get you.
Well, whoever it is, I hope they go that route and, you know, at least show the connection rather than say, well, it's in New York, and they've got a spider motif. Beyond that, I really don't care that much. Big ups if it's Black Cat. I'll say that.
Leading candidate appears to be Black Cat.
Big Cat, Black Cat, and Rocket Racer.
What about the Prowler?
I don't care about Hobie. I really don't.
Ugh.
Ugh. Oh, no! Wait a minute! Cloak and Dagger!
Yeah.
Oh.
Do they own Cloak and Dagger?
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Cloak and Dagger!
Do they actually own Cloak and Dagger? I can find that out.
Okay, let's just say they do. It would be cool. I think we would all get behind it.
And not only that, but we could get some interracial romance on screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See?
If this is Virginia in the 1950s, everybody all the fuck.
Unless they make Dagger black, too.
Hmm. Well, you know what? They can switch it. They can make Cloak white and Dagger black.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Now we're getting
either way, there will be some more.
He got Uncle Fever.
The domino cookie. Oreo. There we go. But in a good way.
Yep. But really, just cut the check, Marvel. That's what.
Just cut
you know what, Johnny V, it always comes down to the money.
Just
I
cut
love
that check.
Right to it.
It's not even Marvel that's become it. It's Disney.
True enough.
Write it.
All right. Jonathan, really let's go to you. What do you think about the franchising of The Amazing Spider-Man?
I don't know. It depends on how they do it. There's not, like you guys have said, there's not really many options that I would think would make a good movie for the general public. I mean, I'm like Taser. I'd get a kick if they did a Rocket Racer, you know, movie, you know, and maybe if they did like an Ultimate Prowler film, you know, the way they did him in the Ultimates, you know, it might would be an interesting take. But otherwise, the only thing I can see them doing is maybe an agent, you know, like I said, Agent Venom or something to do with Venom, and how they screwed him up in Spider-Man 3 shows you they don't really know how to do the character. And,
well,
it just...
Sam Raimi didn't know how to do the character.
Yeah, well, you know, he didn't like the character. That's why he did it. Yeah.
Well, what happened was that production was being tugged in three different directions. I mean, fans wanted Venom, the studio wanted another Goblin, and Raimi wanted Sandman, and...
Yeah, and we saw how that went.
Yeah,
but, it was a three-way tug job?
Pretty much, yeah. And it wasn't the sexy kind either.
But no, sir. But if they could do it like I said, the Ultimate Prowler, or maybe even Spider-Man 2099 in a way, I would be into that. Otherwise, I'm like Johnny B. Write the check, Disney, get it back to Marvel so we can actually see some actual proper crossovering with the other, you know, Marvel characters. Because otherwise, I'm just like, bleh.
I still want to see Hugh Jackman team up with Andrew Garfield for a Spider-Man Wolverine movie. That'd be awesome.
Would be cool. But I'm just saying, Disney, get the cut the check, get it over with, you know, wait until after Star Wars to get the X-Men rights back from Fox, because that's about the only way I think they're going to do it. But that's about all I can say on it. It just, it's a wait-and-see issue on how they do it. You know, it's kind of like how they're trying to do with the X-Men and stuff. I'm hearing they're trying to do other things with it, too, so just have to go from here.
All right, well, the X-Men have much more going for them than Spider-Man does right now in terms of team-ups and shit like that. They got the Fantastic Four to play with. So, let's go to our last bit of news. Some very controversial shit.
Yes, yes. Johnny V's already revving up his Harley in protest, so I'll just get this out of the way right now.
I'm not revving up Harley. I'm getting my fucking shotgun out.
Fair enough. Marvel, as has a tendency to do, is relaunching one of its books, Ghost Rider. Now, this isn't Johnny Blaze. It isn't Danny Ketch. No. I'll just dive right in. Quote, "Our all-new Ghost Rider, as the title suggests, is an absolutely new character, Robbie Reyes. Robbie's an East Los Angeles high school senior with a short fuse and a passion for electronic music and absolutely anything powered by an engine. In comparison to previous Ghost Riders, he's young and inexperienced in life, but his harsh inner-city upbringing, overall distrust for most..."
Why do I see a flaming
Ghost Rider? "Overall distrust for most people and serious contempt for his violent surroundings make him the perfect host for his spirit of vengeance." End quote.
Booga, help me.
Almost in this.
Writer, written by Felipe Smith and artist Trad Moore, the art looks horrendous, and I can't imagine the writing will be much better.
Booga. Buddha, help me.
Flaming a low rider.
Hey, Holmes.
He pulls up.
Orale, Simon.
Wait, is the new Ghost Rider Latino or something?
Yeah, he's from East LA, dude. His name's Robbie Reyes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Whoa. Dude, I'm not kidding you. Check the artwork, man.
All right, fuck he's it. Everton's almost as playing him in the movie. That's it.
I want to go last, by the way.
Okay,
I'm probably gonna rant.
All right, all right, it's fine. Let's go to Arnold again. First of all, Arnold, new Ghost Rider, new car, new race of origin. What you got?
The new car. As a whole, I don't really particularly care about Ghost Rider. Again, like many, I don't dislike him. He's just not really somebody that interests me, and I never really go out of my way to read anything Ghost Rider or anything like that. So this, for me, it doesn't affect me in any fashion. I don't understand the change for the car. Well, I guess now that hearing that it is a youngling in high school, part Hispanic or completely Hispanic, with a car, the car makes a little bit more sense now, I guess. Weird. And I did see some of the art, and it looks weird. The face mask looks weird. Is this different from a last image that we saw of Ghost Rider a while back that looked all like robot-y or some shit like that a while back?
That was the mask, or the skull, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Looks like his racing helmet, apparently, that's going to be all Ghost Rider-ified.
I really don't think, when I think Spirit of Vengeance, I don't particularly think teenager. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's magic, but that's a whole other story. So, kind of odd that they're taking in that. I think this is, again, Marvel's another grand attempt with their all-new, all-now, whatever the case may be. It's, we're trying to get that hip, younger crowd. That's really all I can see is the reasoning behind this, because other than that, I don't see why. I don't think anybody that read Ghost Rider was clamoring for a younger Ghost Rider or a different Ghost Rider.
Maybe that's the point, because people weren't clamoring for, well, we got to do something. Let's do something interesting with Ghost Rider, with the Ghost Rider name. Let's just try something.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll always go back to.
Marvel. The last time they tried something, it failed miserably. So yeah, let's just take it back to Johnny Blaze and leave it be, shall we not?
Johnny Blaze was his books were...
They really will. They'll go
he was
out
a
of
fucking their... hayseed powered by Satan. That's awesome, okay?
What?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut in. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So, yeah, again, I'm in the grand scheme of things, in terms of me collecting comics and such, I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. So yeah, I don't think I have much more to say on that. 14, really? Did you? Or, was it 14, or am I just making that up?
I don't know. So, question, Brian. Johnny Blaze is still around, right? He's not going anywhere?
Yep, he's joining the Thunderbolt.
So he's going to be around?
Yep.
So this isn't Johnny Blaze. This is a new character altogether.
Yes.
And the last new Ghost Rider they tried failed spectacularly.
Then it's fine. I don't care. It's a new character. If it was replacing Johnny Blaze, I could understand the hate.
You're just playing devil's advocate.
No, I'm not. I've had a character replace. Damn it! Don't fucking start with me on this shit. So, if it was Johnny Blaze, I could see the anger. I can understand why people would hate it. I don't like the design. I think the car is sweet. I'm a sucker for muscle cars.
So fucking ready to go off right now.
I'm a sucker for muscle cars. But the fact is, if it was Johnny Blaze and they said, okay, you know what, Johnny Blaze, we're going to take away your cool spikes and your leather jacket. We're going to take away your motorcycle that is so iconic. Instead, we're going to move you to Los Angeles and we're going to put you in a muscle car. Go. I can understand the hate. Me, however, since Johnny Blaze is going to be in Thunderbolts, which is interesting, and I kind of want to read that.
That's actually kind of cool.
And this is a new character altogether. I don't see the problem. You know, is it going to be good? Is it going to be? Is it going to be good, or is it going to be
okay,
good?
Okay, well, he looks like a demonic speed racer. First of all, okay, let's just get that out of the way right now.
I never said I liked the design. I said I did not like the design. Did I not say that? I said I liked the car. But my thing is, I don't understand the hate, is what I'm saying. Is that if Johnny Blaze was killed off in the last appearance, I could understand the hate. But the point is, he's still around, and he still is in a book. And this Ghost Rider may have his own solo, but he's not replacing anybody yet. If he does, I will understand the hate. That is all I'm saying, and that's it.
Well, all I'm saying is,
I can't wait to go the fuck off.
If they really wanted to interest me in a new young Ghost Rider, they would just stick him in Young Avengers and let like Kieron Gillen write him.
No, because then it becomes
there.
It becomes,
I would like that idea.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, huh? A young Ghost Rider palling around with the Young Avengers with freaking Wiccan in the team? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine the shit Loki would pull, having Zarathos hanging around?
Whatever. Okay, Jonathan.
How do I say this?
Don't put it delicately.
I'm saving the rant for you because I'm hearing this and I'm like, again, it's that whole diversity for diversity's sake. And again, last time they did Ghost Rider, they made it a woman and it failed spectacularly. Not necessarily because it was a woman and all that, but it just, if it's not Johnny Blaze or Danny Ketch, I'm really not interested, you know, because. And again, they gave him a car and made him from East L.A. And the only thing, the first image in my head is him tooling around East L.A. with, you know, the Los Lobos playing or something like that in the background playing. And just the lowrider thing going. And it just, and I mean, I hate to sound like that, but it's just, I'm more apathetic towards it than I am hate, you know, hateful. I mean, now when I see the actual product, then I'll probably want to, you know, turn on the rage and just want to put a, you know, fist down the throat, you know. But other than that, I'm just like, blah. Yeah.
All right. Taser, have you spoken your thoughts on Ghost Rider? I don't think so.
Let's see. There's four letters that I can use to describe what I saw. And it's G-H-E-Y.
Gay.
Very much.
Deserving of G-A-Y.
It looks blah. You know, like we discussed before, you told us to hold it all in for the show. The car is like, hurr.
It's a muscle car.
Okay, muscle cars. Okay, muscle cars.
I like muscle cars.
But the overall storyline sounds kind of... And the art for that book looks, you know, I have no interest in touching that book ever. And I mean that. Not even just to give it a try. No try. None. None whatsoever. Not touching it. Staying the fuck away. And also, yeah, he doesn't have a car. No car. Fucking motorcycle, man. Fuck! So yeah,
previous Ghost Rider didn't have a motorcycle. He had a horse.
Yeah, he had a horse because it was either that or He'd have been.
And Johnny Blaze still has his motorcycle.
You know, and the first Ghost Rider wasn't demonically possessed. He was a guy in a fucking robe and a white mask and outfit. So there's that.
And Johnny Blaze is still gonna have his motorcycle. This isn't Johnny Blaze.
Yeah. No. Ghost Rider. No, he should have a fucking motorcycle. That's it.
Nah.
That's it.
Nah.
Or better yet, give him a Segway.
Fuck you.
Give him a segue, all right? You know, why not?
No, look at me, okay? The one thing about... Actually, you know what? No, get to Johnny.
Yeah, so move to Johnny, because I got nothing good to say about this.
Johnny,
unleash the Kraken.
Yeah, this is Johnny's job. I'll leave it to him.
Get him.
Oh, here it goes.
The Fury... is so deeply ingrained, I can't even yell about it. Like, you know, like you always heard, like, you'll know who I'm mad when I'm quiet type deals. Like, that's kind of how I feel about this. Like, I just look at these pictures more and more, and as I said, as Jonathan was talking, I just want to punch a baby in the face the more I look at the picture. Like, I want to take something innocent and just... right in the face. Like, maybe my dog. I'm glad my dog's not in the room. I want to elaborate on Ben's point that he made, that it's not, quote-unquote, replacing Johnny Blaze. To me, that makes me even more angry, because they're keeping the original Ghost Rider around, and yet he's not getting his own book. Some second-rate fucking hack that no one's ever heard of because they're making someone up is getting a Ghost Rider book over Ghost Rider, who they're sliding in to Thunderbolts. And
actually,
Ghost Rider has never been, nor will he ever be, a team player. But that's what I always liked about him in the Marvel Universe. Along with Thor to an extent, but even more so than Thor, he's kind of the wrench in the cogs of Marvel. You know, he's nothing but supernatural. Like, he's straight from fucking hell. And that's his character's completely based around that idea. And that's what I always, like, drew me to him, was this supernatural element. And replacing the bike, to me, is more sacrilege than replacing Blaze. I could understand going a new character route. I could. But can you imagine the original Star Wars trilogy without the Millennium Falcon? Like, it won't happen. Can you imagine a Ghostbusters movie without the ambulance car? No, because it's freaking sacrilege for any of that to ever happen. Ever. Ghost Rider isn't Ghost Rider without his bike. Now, he can ride a fucking horse every once in a while, but I'll be damned if a Ghost Rider main series doesn't have an asshole on a motorcycle on fire, blazing up the fucking hell streaks, revving that shit up.
My God.
There's no point to it. Like, it just, why bother doing it? You've already tried to introduce a new Ghost Rider, not even like 2 years ago. I don't even think it may have been a year. I don't think it's been that long since she was introduced. And just how gloriously she failed. If you want to do something like this, introduce a new Ghost Rider type character, you know, I forgot who said, I think it may have been Brian, you know, put, if he's going to be a younger teenager, put him in Young Adventures. He might blossom into something. Do an Ultimate version with a different character. That's the whole reason you have the Ultimate Universe, to try new things and do things you can't do in the 616. But instead, they're like, fuck Johnny Blaze, let's throw him into a team book that no one's ever going to care about, because Ghost Rider's is not going to work in a team book. And let's give this thing a shot, even though it's just terrible. And it's not going to sell. I would almost bet money. I will bet money with anyone in here that this book will fail probably within 5 issues. I would need odds for it to be 5 issues. They might extend it a little bit longer. But it's so full of... It doesn't make sense, and that's the other part of it. Like, nothing about this is logical to me in terms of...
Captain, this is...
Yeah, how are they rationalizing splitting up Zarathos this time around?
Magic. I don't know.
Because they don't have to explain it because it's magic.
And not even from a storytelling standpoint, but it's from a succeeding standpoint. Like,
that's also lazy.
Why throw just a brand new character into the Ghost Rider mix when, A, he's never really been that successful in terms of, like, sales. He's always been kind of a B-level, you know, more of a niche character.
That.
People that have enjoyed, and that's, you know, that's fine. I don't like or dislike characters because of their popularity. I mean, I'm fine with not being popular, and, you know, when he gets a run, I know it's never going to last long. But if you're going to do
like
it...
like Moon Knight.
Yeah, if you do it, at least, you know, use the heritage of the character that you already have established to propel it forward to try to succeed. I don't... like, doing a brand new Ghost Rider just, it reeks of fail. And there's so many different ways they could have attempted this and without angering me and making me want to punch a baby. So that will be the conclusion of my Ghost Rider thoughts. Yeah. He's up there with Green Lantern and Deadpool as characters I don't like to see fucked with. And the other two have been fucked with already beyond repair almost to this point. And now it looks like my third don't fuck with character is getting
fucked with.
And it's sad. It's so sad.
Question, though, Johnny.
What?
What if you're correct and it does last like 5 issues or something, they end the series with Johnny Blaze coming in and kicking this kid's ass.
If that happens, they got me. They'll have me back. I mean,
sounds good.
I won't say that I'm a completely rational human being. And you know what's funny is what's sad, I'm probably gonna buy the number one issue.
You are running an Idris Elba draft, I'll just say that much.
Like, well, yeah, exactly right. Well, I'm quote-unquote running it.
Hey, he was in Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Was in Ghost Rider, and that was... God, you want to talk about terror? Don't get me started. I'm already ranting enough as it is, but I guess those are all my thoughts. That's the saddest part. Like, I've always been of the mind that don't buy books that you don't want, but Ghost Rider's just one of those characters. Like, I know I'm going to buy the number one issue.
He doesn't come around a lot, so you might as well get what you can.
Does carrying a balance on my credit...
Well, does carrying a balance on your credit card, does that have to do with... I mean, you got to have balance to buy the comic.
Damn it. I'm closing this tab out, because the more I see it, like, the more actually sad I get.
Well,
I rarely show feelings, especially on this show.
Well, I'll say this. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at the concept that they want to play with and seeing him with the car is like David Hasselhoff's Knight Rider, where Kit was like a wood-paneled station wagon with no bulletproof, you know, paneling or, you know, turbo boosts. That's kind of how I feel. Or better yet, they did Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider on a tricycle. See? That's just exactly. No, see how that makes
like
you sound
they did
feel?
Back to the Future without the fucking DeLorean. It doesn't make sense.
If it was Johnny Blaze, I would agree with y'all, but it's not him, so I don't see the
Ghost Rider is arguably more similar to Punisher. He's a redneck on a motorcycle hunting down souls for hell. What is so
Daryl, awesome.
He's still writing stuff. He's still writing things down. It's just 4 wheels instead of 2. If it was a Prius, I could agree with you guys.
That was well said, actually.
But it's going to be a fucking Prius. That's the equivalent of this.
Like, or a Chevy Volt. There you go.
He's in a freaking muscle car. It's fine. I'll be reading it. I'll try the first.
You just like it because it's another Hispanic.
I don't like my own people.
Yes, you do.
Fuck.
This entire segment was hilarious.
There it is. Episode 150. You finally get in. I completely I don't like my own people.
That should be the show title. I don't like my own people.
I don't like my own people.
All right. Well, that I think anybody else who hadn't spoken up about Ghost Rider? Anybody? Last thoughts?
Wes? Where's Wes?
Oh, that guy doesn't exist. All right. Well, let's get right into the comics part. I'm going to go first because I'm the egomaniac that I am and because I'm really excited to talk about this book. And I know Brian somewhat shares my opinion. Uncanny Avengers number 14. This is actually the first issue of Steve McNiven's little stint on the run.
Fucking Steve McNiven, you wonderful bastard.
I know. This is like Civil War Steve McNiven. So basically what we have is we have a little prologue at the beginning issue where Kang is going through different timelines. As time is basically eating itself up, as we saw a couple of issues back, he recruits Strife, a Spider-Man from 2033 who looks like, it's like a black suit, but like it's like veiny, kind of like, you know, like an Animal Man's blood kind of thing, you know? It looks like that. He recruits Doom 2099 and Red Skull from 2014, Magistrate Braddock, who I'm assuming is Betsy Braddock, but just a little bit older, and then what? I don't know what that
Sorry.
Was. I don't know what that
squeak.
Oh,
it was just him feeling 12 again.
Okay, and then and then Deathlok. So the Brusted issue is basically it's Race Against Time, where Rogue and Sunfire are racing to stop Wanda and Simon from doing the evil, thinking they're committing an evil deed, and meanwhile, Wanda and Simon are actually going to bring the mutants here to fight against the Apocalypse Twins, unbeknownst to everybody else.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Yeah, Lisbon, all hell breaks loose. Rogue has borrowed Wolverine's bone claw abilities, and huge fight ensues. Wolverine, you can tell, like, you know, and this is like the culmination of the Wolverine that Taser doesn't like, and that, you know, after, you know, reading Wolverine and Wolverine the X-Men and Uncanny X-Men and all the killing, not just killing, but the personal killing he's done or personal killing he's witnessed, killing his son, killing his own children, unbeknownst to him, you know, becoming a professor of school, he's kind of calmed down. He's kind of like, I'm tired of this shit.
He's a pussy.
He's not your Wolverine. He's maturing as a character, which I thought
you
liked.
Yeah, he's a pussy.
Which I thought you liked. The whatever. So he basically knows Rogue's on a bloodlust and tells her, take her, stop her, you have to stop Rogue, non-lethally. Even, like, Shiro was like, what the fuck are you, you're fucking Wolverine, what the fuck are you talking about? Even Rogue says in the issue where she's like, I know what Logan really wants. He doesn't want blood on his hands anymore, I guess. So Doc and it grabs Logan in a full Nelson and forces him to watch Rogue stab Scarlet Witch right through the stomach in a very beautiful single-page splash of McNiven, just wonderful detail. It's just like, one of, like, the page was excellent because he's just like, oh, it just hits you. Wolverine screams no. Wanda is on her knees. You know, freaking Rogue kicks her off the cliff or she falls off the cliff. Shortly after, if Remender doesn't want to make you feel bad enough, he has the recently reborn Grim Reaper stab Rogue right through the chest with his newly enhanced Grim Reaper scythe, in which basically Wolverine's begging for her life because Wolverine does have a special attachment to Rogue, you know, taught her how she was, taught her who she is and everything like that. And Rogue's body is pretty much destroyed, right? All you see is a skeleton. Just done.
She's fucking dematerialized,
yeah, dematerialized.
Bitch.
So then you have Wanda and Simon still trying to achieve the bringing the mutants as basically cavalry to fight the Apocalypse Twins. And, you know, Simon dissipates into ionic energy, and Scott and Wanda is left there to try to finish the spell. And she's basically, it looks like she's dead at the end, just lying in the grass in a pool of her own blood. And
wow, Wanda Maximoff dead. What a fucking shocker.
Well,
let me go grab my jaw off the ground.
I like Wanda. I know she's done some really fucked up things and she went crazy. You know, House of M was her brother's fault, I still maintain.
Pretty much, yeah.
And you know, granted, she did go crazy in Avengers, and that is her fault. But I was interested in this Road of Redemption story that they were building her towards. But like, it was such a literal punch in the gut because I legitimately like the Scarlet Witch as a character. You know, and, like, a lot of the old Avengers comics, she's primarily in them, so I like her, and I like that she was in this book when it was relaunched. And it was just one of those, like, are you kidding me? And then, of course, Rogue biting the dust, which I really like Rogue also. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? It was just one of those things where, like, this is why I love this book, the drama. And then just seeing Wolverine in this agony that I'm not used to seeing him in. It's just oddly weird, but yet from a story standpoint, it's so satisfying to me, at least. And McNiven, I don't need to say much about McNiven, but he was just tremendous. Like, this is McNiven, like, I like to say back in, like, when he first started coming out, like, nearly 10 years ago with, you know, like, Civil War. You know, this is the McNiven that I remember.
Shit, you know? Civil War almost a decade ago?
Well, like 2006, so about...
Jesus.
Yeah. So, you know, this is that was the height of these pencils where I'm like, oh, my God. I know he's not going to be in the book on long because he never is, but, you know, like, some of these, like, single pages, like, that's McNiven. That's McNiven. That's McNiven. So I give Uncanny Avengers a 5 out of 5. I want to see how the fuck Remender gets out of all this. What is the future of this team? Where the hell is Thor? Because I can't remember what happened to him in the last issue, because I know he's still around. And, of course, Havoc doesn't know what happened. Janet doesn't know what happened. Cap doesn't know what happened. This is all going on with these characters. So, yeah, shit's getting real for the Uncanny Avengers. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Brian, you take it away. I'm going to get too emotional.
Yeah, it was certainly done up to par with with Remender's previous stuff. I mean, he draws upon his huge Uncanny X-Force run. He draws upon all the groundwork he's been laying in this book, and it just fucking works. It's cataclysmic. I mean, it really, really is. You take out Rogue. Simon's kind of in the ether right now, just kind of doing what ionic energy does. I don't know if what that does. And Wanda appears to be dying. Meanwhile, we get to see the fallout from her little spell she cast. And all the while, Kang's out there fucking up the time stream, doing all kinds of crazy shit, recruiting his own team. And Wolverine just decides, okay, here's the punchline, everybody dies, and just starts fucking shit up. It is... almost unreal how much he manages to fit into one issue where it's just like, holy shit. This is a lot of shit hitting the fan. Like, this is like you go to McDonald's or you eat a whole bucket of KFC by yourself and you sit down, and then afterwards, that amount of shit hitting the fan. It's a lot of shit. And Steve McNiven, of course, is bar none one of my favorite artists, so I'm glad to see him back doing interiors again. Shit, the last time I think I saw him do interiors was on, like, fucking... Old Man Logan, and that is way too long to go without some McNiven.
Yeah, powers. I think it has been that long. Jesus, you're right.
Shit.
Like, he's
McNiven, you...
Like, Marvel Interiors. He's been doing stuff with Millar for a while, that's why.
Yeah, but this is the first time he's been back at Marvel since Old Man Logan closed out.
Oh my
that
God,
was just brutal.
Jesus, that was 5 years ago. Oh my God. Or 6 years ago.
Yeah. So, McNiven, we missed you, pal. Glad to see you back.
Yeah.
Magnificent bastard. Okay, that's about all I got to say on that.
What was the issue that you wanted to review, B-Rai?
Oh, I wanted to review Hawkeye number 14.
Starring Lady Hawkeye.
Yes, Kate Bishop. She's practically an Avenger. I'm just fucking with you. So this kind of picks up after Kate's initial brush with Madame Mask over in Hawkeye Annual. She kind of ditched Clint and moved out to L.A. to be on her own for a little while because she was sick of his drama. I guess Clint had drama. So the thing with her is she kind of made the move suddenly. So out in L.A., she's dead broke. Oh, now what does she do? Well, funny enough, she advertises herself as a hero for hire. And she kind of rolls with that. I mean, what ends up happening in this issue is that she ends up running across a couple of two gay men who were planning on getting married, and all the flowers for their wedding were not delivered. They were missing for all intents and purposes. So Kate, being the studious little superhero she is, decides to find out what the hell just happened. So she goes to the flower shop and finds it burned down, destroyed, and the flowers that they ordered for their wedding, all the orchids, are missing. Oh no. So now Kate has to go track down the guy who the florist knows took them, but he is afraid to testify against. And this guy's name is Flint Ward. Now, Flint Ward is not your typical kind of villain. He's sort of like a gray-haired guy living in a posh mansion and shit. And I shit you not, he literally ends his first meeting with Kate Bishop, who comes to him and it's kind of like, I'm looking to buy the organs off you, just give them back. And he just pretty much tells her, shoo, child, or I shall alert the constabulary. And it is just magnificent. This whole issue is just perfect. It has the perfect amount of Kate Bishop sass and just sarcasm, and it is brilliant. I never knew I could like Kate Bishop this much. And the wonderful thing about this, too, is that this kind of, like I said, kicked off back in Hawkeye Annual number one, her whole little side thing. But Hawkeye had a bit of an interlude with his brother Barney, and Fraction so flawlessly balances the two stories out, I don't miss one for getting the other. It's really just sort of like, oh, cool, we're dealing with Kate. Oh, it's Clint this month. Oh, it's Kate. And from the looks of the covers, which they post up in the back, it looks like it's going to be going that way for the next at least three issues. It'll be Hawkeye, Kate, and then presumably Hawkeye again. So the way he's alternating here makes it seem as though each time I pick it up, I'm getting a new story with a Hawkeye. But he's changing which Hawkeye it is, and that is just brilliant. I love it so much. So the story kind of resumes where Kate tracks down this guy, the guy Flint Ward. She breaks through his house, tries to break the orchid's back. Unfortunately, it doesn't go over so well, and she kind of gets, kicked out, pretty much. It's kind of funny. They're standing over with a gun pointed at her, and they're just kind of like, nope, shoo, get out, and they kick her out of the house. Literally, she falls on her ass. So, what does she do? Well, after consorting with a cop who pretty much deems her the most annoying kid he's ever met, but who Kate thinks they'll develop an antagonistic, you know, kind of relationship towards, like, you know, in television and shit, she pretty much decides she needs to take down this guy herself. So what does she do? She follows him. Takes pictures of him meeting with unfavorable folk, and eventually she gets spotted. So what does he do? He runs her down. Well, funny enough, Kate reports him, and he gets arrested. Also because he was holding a gun. Boom. Flint Ward is in jail. And despite the fact that she could not get the large amount of orchids back, she did manage to find the one perfect potted plant that the guy did keep on him. And she returned to the couple who were just in time for their little wedding. And it's just such a sappy, happy, romantic ending that you can't help but love it. And in between all this, we have Kate sort of consorting with this guy in the grocery store. She's buying food for her dog. Did they name the dog like Arrow or Lucky or something? I forget what they named it.
It's Anyone Lucky, know? I think, or Arrow.
It's Lucky? Yeah. Well, the dog, anyway. She's consorting with this trench coat-looking guy, and he gives her all this stuff. And finally she goes up. He kind of, in the last meeting, he disappears on her. So she goes to the clerk. He's like, you should get like a trench coat-faced kind of guy. He's kind of like, shuffle, mumbles a lot and stuff. And the clerk tells her that she's been the only person in the store for the last half hour. So Kate's in L.A. and she's hallucinating different personalities. Just like Moon Knight was in L.A. and hallucinating different personalities. Ipso facto, Kate Bishop is Moon Knight. Moving on, we finally find out what the whole deal with the orchids was about. Flint Ward is an underling for Madame Mask, who wanted the orchids for her bath, because it was a lovely detail to my evening bath, quote, end quote. And, of course, Flint Ward now confirming Kate Bishop, who kind of has a rivalry with Madame Mask going on. He reports her, and this sets up Madame Mask back on the trail of Kate Bishop. Also, Madame Mask wears her mask when she's in the bath. That's just not sanitary. Anyway, book was flawless. I loved it to bits. No flaws I can think of, really. It was perfect from start to finish, really. It was a great little encapsulated adventure with Kate Bishop, the rambunctious, you know, sort of Hawkeye Avenger. And Matt Fraction, of course, does great. Also, there was a fill-in artist for this issue. It wasn't David Aja. It was Annie Wu, actually. She did a remarkable, remarkable job. I look forward to seeing her on more stuff in the future. She did a great, great job with the art. Really, I can't put into words just how wonderfully sassy Kate Bishop's writing is. If you want to know what I'm talking about, literally go get the book. Seriously, go read it. It's a great series. You deserve it. You deserve to have this Kate Bishop sass in your life, okay? I'm telling you that right now. So, all in all,
I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. Perfect book. Perfect little, you know, just little self-contained one-shot. It was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. I am satisfied.
All right, let's go to Jonathan with a Superior Spider-Man team-up.
Actually, Superior Spider-Man Annual.
Well, same difference.
I know.
Jeez, get it right.
Jeez, man.
F Superior Spider-Man.
Hey, now. He's a kind, loving soul. But actually, the annual wasn't a bad read for how annuals go. Peter is having dinner with his Aunt May and her husband, you know, his wonderful uncle who is father to the mayor of New York. And, she's like, oh, it's who are you and what did you do with the real Peter Parker? You know, joking around and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, and because, you know, he's eating more food than what he normally has in the past and yada, yada. And, you know, it's showing that Peter has changed in a positive way and being more, you know, out there and being able to more get himself outgoing and stuff, trying to start his own business. You know, obviously they don't know that it's Doc Ock, but Doc Ock is like, you know, trying to repair any damage that he did with Aunt May himself. You know, obviously she doesn't know that, but, you know, he feels bad about that and does care for her. And talks to his uncle, and he was happy to see him being more like that and appreciates what he's doing and just, you know, that sort of thing. And Peter's like telling him, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to make sure things, you know, are better and all that, and goes on doing his own thing. While this was going on, you see this mafia guy talking to a person off screen saying, yeah, well, here's the info on Peter Parker doing all the stuff with the Spider-Man's tech and all that. And, you know, ever since he offed the Kingpin, need to get, you know, want to get him, you know, taken care of and blah, you know, I'm unemployed, so I need the money, and realizes that he looks at the money and it's like Monopoly paper money. And the guy goes, well, same here. I've been kind of unemployed myself. And he winds up killing the mafia guy, and he has teeth. So it looks like it might, you know, they kind of hint that it might be a certain living vampire, but, you know, just the way you're seeing, but it turns out it's not. It's Blackout from Ghost Rider fame, trying to reestablish his cred as an assassin and stuff. So he's going to go after Peter Parker because of his link to Spider-Man. And he winds up, as after Peter has left and doing his thing, he comes in and kidnaps Aunt May. You know, the usual thing with Aunt May being in trouble, and Peter Ock Parker is looking at his deal, trying to see how the signal from his spider mechanical Spidey robots that he has watching all over the city will go in the subway, and happens to see that it's in the apartment, and he sees Aunt May being kidnapped, and he gets a phone call, and he's like immediately breaking out of the subway, you know, not subtly, and runs back and gets a phone call from Blackout saying, I need all the information. I want you to damage all of the tech that Spider-Man uses, so that way when I fight him, I can take him out easily. Otherwise, you will not see. And if you make any kind of effort to have Spider-Man show up or if I see Thor flying overhead or anything like that, she dies. You know, if you do this, she dies and all that. And then, you know, and it's a cell phone that's untraceable, or at least that's what Blackout thinks, that, you know. But because this is the Superior Spider-Man, Ock is already triangulated where the phone call came from and all that, and starts getting info on Blackout so he can know what his abilities are and all that routine. He talks to Danny Ketch, of all people, and finds out that if he doesn't take him out now, it's going to be, doesn't matter if you hurt him or not, he heals back and he'll just keep, unless you plan on killing him, you're not going to be able to get rid of him. And so, you know, you go to that, and then Spider-Man finally finds him and takes to attacking him, and then Blackout was like, okay, I told you this was going to, what was going to happen, and he blinded Spidey for a minute by taking out his eye goggle, you know, the eye holes in his mask, you know, which had tech in it, and when he goes, I'm going to kill her, and then he tries to attack her and didn't realize the spider bots had come with Ock and created a force field around May so that he can't do anything. So then Spider-Man just starts beating the holy hell out of Blackout. And it just, you know, and then finally he knocks him out and then, tells Aunt May, here, take this. It's a, he bent, breaks his pole and says, here you go, madam. Please go on. There's a police station 2 blocks down. Go there. I will take care of Blackout and all that. And he then grabs Blackout and says, you know, you're right. You know, not sending, be able to send a message to, you know, to anybody. Well, I want you to send a message to people for me. Hangs them up on a couple of hooks and then pulls out a pair of pliers and starts pulling out Blackout's teeth one by one and doing scientific research on it, going, oh, okay, this and that. And Aunt May heard the screaming and kind of goes back and sees what Spidey's doing and runs off in fear of it because, you know, it's not how, because that's not what, you know, she can see with her tender heart, yada, yada. And then Spider-Man goes, and then Blackout's like, okay, I'll do what you need me to do. And he's like, okay, I know you will. This is what you're going to do. You will not harm, you will send the message to your friends and associates that Peter Parker is not to be harmed. Anybody who is associated with Peter Parker, his family or friends, or anybody with me will not be harmed. If they die in a car wreck, they die in a, you know, being like pushed off a subway, you know, subway deal. If so much as anything, I will find you and I will kill you. And then she was, and then he's like, okay, I will. And Spidey's like, oh, I know you will. But by the way, you're vulnerable to sunlight and gets an old, you know, a glorified, you know, sun lamp, you know, one of those kind of things, and just burns the ever loving hell out of them. Suffice to say, we're seeing a rather dark side to how Doc does things. And at the end of it, and I had to crack up, is because Ock is getting flowers so he can take them to Aunt May. And this guy bumps into him, takes his wallet, and stops all of a sudden, looks in the wallet, is like, oh, shit, oh, sir, I didn't know you were Peter Parker. Please don't tell him the, you know, that happened. I have kids. And Ock is like, okay, this ought to work out fine. And then it ends on that note. And for an annual, it was actually an enjoyable story. I don't know if I would have liked paying the price I did. I think it was like $4.99 in that area. And but it was nice to see an annual that – I'm sorry, what? Oh, must have had an echo. I heard that, you know, it was like at least nice to see an annual that was not connected to like 4 or 5 other annuals to do some stupid crossover like they did back in the day. It was a nice one-shot deal. It was not written by Dan Slott, so I actually found it a little bit more enjoyable seeing another writer's take on it. And it was pretty cool to see, you know, people are, I think, are starting to finally realize that maybe Spidey's not Spidey anymore. You know, he's doing stuff that he's not supposed to, but the fact that he also has scared the ever-loving hell out of people, and then it ends with this guy talking to this mysterious guy in shadow saying, yeah, it looks like the spider's getting going nuts. He's not taking crap anymore. He's getting dark, and why would you want to do that? And you hear this guy go, well, my dear fellow, it's because it's a tradition, and he's laughing, and it's the Green Goblin, you know, because they're doing this whole thing. And yeah, it's a shock.
What?
Green Goblin.
What?
Yeah.
Duff.
Goblin is...
Is it Norman?
Goblin, we don't know. That's the thing. But
what
he's got...
It's the Green Goblin.
In the title, he's had it where he's got his Goblin Knights. He's got the new Hobgoblin working for him after Spidey could kick the ever-loving shit out of him. And it's getting interesting. I mean, I'm not a big Green Goblin fan, because I would have preferred that he stayed dead back then.
God, when was the last time we saw the Green Goblin? Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think it's Norman, but you never know. But it's a good read, and the main title is a good read, too. I mean, it's one of those check-your-brain-out, at the door, and you just, it's your guilty pleasure read. You know it's not Peter. Deal, you know, go along with it, enjoy it, and go along because you know he's going to be back. And but the annual is good. I'd give it about a 3.5 for an annual. And there we go.
Good man. Yeah. Talk up that Superior Spider-Man. You do it.
So.
dirty, dirty man.
Isn't he coming across Venom now, right? That's the newest arc. He's going to get Venom.
It's getting ready to.
Just started this issue that just.
Yeah, and I got to pick that up here hopefully in another day or two when I get paid. Yeah.
It was good. It was good.
All right. Well, let's go back to X-Men territory with the all-new X-Men, number 18, number 19, with the returning Unds. Oh, don't know what that, right. Don't know what that
fuck was that.
Don't even know.
Okay, all-new X-Men number 19. So, as we know, or for those that may not know, the all-new X-Men is a book. It's consisting primarily of the five original X-Men that are here from the past that are stuck in our future. Through the course of events, through Battle of the Atom, whether you read it or not, at the end of it, Kitty, albeit brashly and rather unexpectedly and quite almost out of characteristically, decided at the last minute to join up with Scott School, and the other kids went with her. So this book is about them. They're on their first mission of sorts. They're trekking down. They're in Miami. We see a girl who's hooded. She's very much trying to stay hidden. Her jeans are all tattered. She's looking like she's been running for a while. And it seems that she's being chased around and by people who think that she's a mutant, and she doesn't know why they would think that she's a mutant. Right at the culmination of that, the X-Men poured in, and we've got Scott and Magic and Kitty Pryde and the original five X-Men and the, no, I'm sorry, just the original five X-Men. They show up on the scene, try to calm it down. It's all these, like, big armored type guys, and they seem to be religious zealots of sorts because they're all proclaiming how mutants are abominations and they're sliding against God.
Oh,
and God,
you know what that means.
And, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, very Purifier-esque or, you know, those kind of things. So the inevitable battle ensues in the middle of the city, and, you know, the younger, the original five X-Men, you know, they haven't really had religious zealots come at them, so it's new territory for them, and they're dealing with the fight, and they tell Scott, you know, we've got it, go try and get, go after the girl that we've been looking for. So the fight ensues, and one of the guys shoots at Hank, and Jean flips a shit and aims a giant TK blast and sends a bunch of them just flying across the street. And we cut back to the girl who was being chased, and she gets cornered in an alley by one of these, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call them purifiers. one of these purifiers, and she's still asking, you know, why do you think I'm a mutant? Kitty jumps in and phases through the guy and shorts out all the technology on him and continues on. But the girl that they're going after runs away. Kitty's saying, you know, I'm not trying to hurt you. She happens to say, wait, Laura, is that you? We cut back to the fight. Magic is stomping all kinds of ass and, you know, you know, throwing out her usual, you know, you don't know anything about heaven or hell. Like, I've been to hell. I can show you some shit kind of deal. And we all know Magic in and out of limbo has really seen all kinds of shit. Angel grabs one up and he's jokingly kind of saying, you know, I don't understand how, you know, you're saying that God can create this world of abominations, but you here have someone who's essentially a real live angel or as close as you're going to get, and, you know, you doubt that and still say it's an abomination. So as the fight continues, Jean Grey looks into their minds and sees, you know, all the people that they've killed. We see Priest Guy, who looks almost like it's got Nimrod's gauntlet on his hand, but some kind of gauntlet, and, you know, she's seeing all the horrible things that they've done, and they've killed and tortured and murdered people. And we then cut back to Kitty and the girl that she's chasing. She ends up in the middle of the road. A fight kind of ensues between them, and the cops show up. Pretty much somebody called the cops thinking that they're, you know, it's two drunk people fighting in an alley, or it's two drunk girls just flipping a shit. At the same time that the cops are showing up with Kitty and this girl, The cops are showing up on the scene of Cyclops and the original X-Men. Magic's like, we need to go. Scott says, no, we were helping out. They'll believe us. They'll listen to us, you know. And Magic's like, no, we need to go. Naturally, nobody wants to listen to Scott. Even Magic was like, you really think that they're going to get a statement or want a statement from you? And the shit hits the fan, as we know it does, and Magic ports them out of there. And she pretty much tells him, you know, I've been through this. You don't know. When I say it's time to go, that means it's time to go. And, you know, there's really no argument about it. You haven't seen these kinds of things. You don't know what these kind of people are like. They're not just like the normal people that hate us. These are religious people who will die for what they believe in and, you know, would die if it helps to kill you. So we cut back to Kitty Pryde. She's still chasing this girl. The cops are trying to grab them. She grabs the girl and phases her through the ground into a building. And we flip to the next page, and Kitty's trying to tell her, you know, I'm here to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. You know who I am. Why are you pretending like you don't know who I am? I can help you. And we get to the last page, and the hood comes off the girl. She's completely bald, and she's got two claws coming out of each hand. So my girl's back. She's lost her memory again.
What the fuck happened in Avengers Arena?
Like, but my girl,
she must have gotten fucked up royally, didn't she, huh?
My girl is back. She is bald. She doesn't know who she is, but she's back. And the teaser cover for the next issue.
Everybody's favorite slash fiction ever.
It's a picture of
Cyclops and Wolverine.
Cyclops. So, good times. I've actually really been digging all new X-Men. I'm still liking it. I'm still on board. I'm having good fun with it. I failed to mention the art. Everybody's got flashy new costumes now because, you know, they're a team and they have to all look together and they're all somewhat futuristic. Everybody's got their own special color, their little X-Men Power Rangers going on. But it's cool. I dig them. They're not completely terrible. They're better than some of the costumes slash uniforms a lot of the other X-Men are wearing, so I'm not going to complain too much, but I'm intrigued to see where it goes. I like this team. I have liked it, all the stuff that's been going on, even with Battle of the Atom and everything, and I like that Kitty is still very much in the headmistress role, and I'm wondering if this is going to be a book of them recovering New Mutants, or if them, you know, just that being Laura was incidental, and it just happened to be Laura, and they really are trying to track down New Mutants, which was originally happening in the Generation Hope book, and that's kind of been put to bed since, well, all the changes that have happened. We haven't really seen people going after New Mutants too much, especially since the last five that we got in Uncanny X-Men? Scott's cool?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's the one with the primarily the at least the five or so New Mutants. So we'll see where that goes. Maybe they're going to be some kind of recruiting team, whatever the case may be. But I dig it. It was solid art, classic, usual, good times with Bendis writing. I will give it I'm going to give it a little above the middle of the road, 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, I cannot wait to see what entails a X-23 Cyclops romance. That's right.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for
that. It could be just a completely deceiving, lying cover.
It could be, but also if it happens, it's going to be awesome.
But there is always precedent with, not that Scott's much of a bad boy, but, you know, Laura, she picks interesting people. The last person I remember her dating was Julian Heller.
Maybe she'll date him because he's the exact opposite of what she is.
Yeah, or some weird shit. Or if she'll even get her memories back. Or
maybe Cyclops is going to get as close as he can to Wolverine.
Like, that's some other shit I'm waiting for, too. What happens when Wolverine finds out?
Yeah, that's true. That's basically his daughter, sister.
Young Yu is boning female clone me?
And by the way, I drowned your brother.
Yeah, but I don't think she'd like Dawkins all that much either, so fuck it.
It's like I drowned your brother. Yeah.
Nobody likes Dawkins.
No, nobody does. Okay.
Anyway, sorry, going off on tangents. But yeah, I think I said all I can say about that. All New X-Men number 19. All
right. Let's go to a book that... Okay, Johnny, I'm going to be honest with you before you get to Young Avengers. I like Grant Morrison. I don't know. I lost track of the story fucking months ago. I don't know why I'm keeping reading this book. Young Avengers number 12. Please explain to me what the fuck is going on. That's how you know I'm lost. I
was kind of wondering what the hell you meant when you first said Grant Morrison. I don't think it's that crazy, and I've missed the past couple of issues, to be honest. I thought I caught up pretty well.
Something
I mean, to me, it's still the mother parasite basically wanting to end the universe.
I think it's just all like the sort of... Go ahead.
But, yeah, I'll do a quick recap. Basically, the book starts out Central Park, New York, with Billy's parents, who Mother Parasite's pretty much been in control of since the very beginning of this arc. And Captain America, the adult version of Captain America, basically come through and given, basically laying down the shit, telling Billy and late Hawkeye what's going down and how there's really nothing you can do to stop it. And I love that it was basically a ploy to like try to get Cap to snap out of it kind of deal. And I love that he kind of, Gillen kind of played on that cliche. You know, you always see that in the stories of like how your hero's under mind control, but his will is strong enough to break it. So they were kind of going for that cliche in those first two pages, which I loved, and it didn't work, which was even better. So we go from that to them basically telling the rest of the Young Avengers that it's time to assemble and go kick some fucking ass in Mother's Dimension. And then after that, it basically cuts to Mother's Dimension where you see her players kind of talking with each other, and they're kind of all going over their reasons for doing what they're doing. Leia's trying to get back at Loki for a scheme that he pulled on her. And Patriot's just kind of out of it. And Novar's bitches, he wants some revenge on Lady Hawkeye and want to get Novar back. I love that. I don't know the character's name. What's the character?
Which character?
Obliette. How she takes a selfie of herself, and she's showing her tits. She's like, I'm getting Novar back with this tits selfie. That was hilarious.
Perfect revenge. Flawless.
It's, like one of my, it's one of my favorite things about this book, just how, like, Gillen is so willing to, like, put, like, pop culture and, like, teen references in the book, whether it's dealing with social media and Yambler at the very beginning when he's recapping. You know, Obliette taking a selfie of her tits to try to get Novar back, which I've heard all the teenagers are doing these days. So basically, Novar and Lady Hawkeye are kind of talking about how Novar is fucking scared of what's going down, and that's freaking her out that he's scared. And then we basically see Loki trying going over with Billy, like, how the spell's gonna work and how he has to keep his shit together if they want to actually have a chance of fighting Mother Parasite, because two things could happen. Either he defeats her or his mind breaks and then all of reality comes tumbling down, and then, of course, Mother Parasite wins. Then we get to see Loki's kind of in his scheming ways, because there's actually another way. If they kill Billy, then it automatically severs that link between him and Mother. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to see the happy ending, which I'm kind of hoping that's an additional scheme he's got going on, because Miss America kind of alludes to it. She kind of knows something's up. Like, the easiest way to do it is just to kill him and be done with it. But Loki's up to something, so I'm kind of hoping he's got additional schemes going on. So then we cut back to Mother's Dimension, and she's getting ready to open the portal so that all the Avengers can come in. They have their final battle. And then that happens, and then you get, like, some really good panel layout with all the battles. I loved it. Like, when Billy and Mother are squaring off, I loved the way they spread the panels out on that splash page there. And then, yeah, you got Patriot and Patriot Pop Prodigy facing off. So they get a throwdown, and then you get to see Novar fighting his ex-bitches, and they're still trying to get him back, and Lady Hawkeye gives him shit about being a player. And then at the very end is the big twist, where we find out Leia was kind of playing Loki all along, and that she was able to see what he was seeing, so she kind of knows his plan. And that's the way the book ends. It's a lot of like kind of a setting up, kind of getting you hype before the big battle begins kind of book. But I'm definitely interested to see how it all ties up, and I'm kind of glad that the mother story is tying up, because that was one of the reasons I left the book for like an issue or two, is because I was kind of like wanting to see it end. So I'm glad they're concluding it, and I really hope this ends with somehow this being like a Loki scheme that he's been playing like the strings all along, is what I'm hoping to see. But overall, this book, you know, as a setup for the climax, I thought it did a very good job of doing all of that and introduced kind of all the character motivations, whether they were good or bad. And it was funny, most importantly. That's been probably my favorite thing about Young Avengers, the series so far, is it's always funny, and it had some real funny moments, good clips, and Scott Pilgrim reference, so... like Scott Pilgrim, there's a good reference in there. And as always, I mean, the art's just, it's perfect for this book. Like, I'm not sure I'd want to see him on another book except for this one, but for the story they're telling and kind of like the odd, like, superhero humor they got going on, like, the feel of the book, I think it's perfect fit with the art. They actually have me excited to see how this ends. Like, I really hope they throw a curveball, because they kind of been doing that throughout this book to me, just keep throwing curveballs. So I'm really hoping it ends with something I'm not expecting to happen. So I'll give this a 3.5 out of 5, because again, it's kind of a setup issue building up to the final climax. But it was fun along the way to see it all build up, and you know, again, some good humor all around. So yeah, 3.5 out of 5.
I think I'm going to be the only one. Had I not known the book was ending in January, I was like, you know what? I don't need this right now, because I like the artist. I think somewhere along the line, I lost track of the story of just, like, all the, I don't know, maybe just, I don't know, for me, it's just, like, I lost track of what things are going on. I know the overall plot was Mother, but some of the intricate stuff is just like, what the fuck is going on now? Why, where is it?
Like, she ended up kidnapping
Teddy. Yeah, no, I know that, but it was just, like, to me, everything became so esoteric, and not in a good way. So that's what it was. It just everything just became sort of fell apart a little bit.
Esoteric. Then Young Avengers isn't a food.
Everything's just.
Wah, wah.
Well, I eat my comic books.
Oh shit! Arnold's not here. Shit! He would have got that joke. Fuck.
So. Ugh. All right. Well, I don't know. I think I'm the only one who's just not digging the book.
I think so. I think everyone likes it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's bad.
They're like the Backstreet Boys.
And I think when it's done in January, I'm going to read all of it again in one row. We'll see. I'm just not digging it like I was digging it earlier in the beginning of the year. You know, that's all. Which, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's fine. It's totally fine. It's fine. So, anybody else left to review? Is that everybody? I believe that is it. No, Teaser. Teaser.
I don't think he had a book, did he?
Yes, he did. And Taser, last but not least, rounded up with Marvel Knights X-Men as I take my bounce. Or Spider-Man? Is it Spider-Man?
Okay. No. It's X-Men. But, you know, I goofed. I honestly thought that this was a Marvel Max title, you know? So, you know, X-Men getting something that wasn't just standard, you know, X-Men, blah. I was like, "Yeah, cool. This ought to be interesting. Maybe something gritty or different than, you know, what we'd been given." And it's really just a Marvel Knights title. Now, I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't read really anything that had this designation before, so I have no idea what makes this, what sets this aside from any of the other stuff. With, like, you know, like the Spider-Man Knights or Daredevil. I have no idea what makes it any different. And that kind of carries over here, because this story, as far as I'm concerned, is just another X-Men story. You know, I really thought this was going to be a Max title, which is why I picked it up. And it's not bad, though. It's not like the story was lame or, you know, I couldn't get into it. It's just... This should have been in either Wolverine and the X-Men crap title, or Uncanny X-Men, Uncanny something, whatever book would have Kitty, Logan, and Rogue, because that's the three main characters that are involved in this story. Anyway, like I said, Marvel Knights X-Men number one by Brom Revel and Chris Peter. Okay, so I have to get that out the way so people know who the hell to look for, because that's what you people like now. The creator's not the character.
You people.
You people. You youngins. You frackin' rack environments. Ah, I hate
you. What do you mean, you
people?
That's
right. I'm doing my Yosemite Sam. Ah, I hate you, young readers. But yeah. Long story short. Rachel Gray, time lost Cyclops' daughter. She has a dream, or seems to have a dream, where she's coming upon somebody who's like, no, I won't say anything. Please, I'll keep quiet. Your standard Star Trek, death encounter. And she wakes up like, and she goes to, you got Beast and Logan and Kitty, and everybody's like, oh, who's a good girl? Who's a good girl? Here, sip some cocoa. Yum, yum, yum. And they're trying to figure out exactly what was going on, whether it was real, whether it was a dream or what. They get some info that says that this wasn't a dream. It was something being projected to her, because she's kind of empathic. So, because she's got the TP. And they figure, we've done some hypercojubilates, techno mumble bullshit, and we've got something picked up down in Tuscaloosa, North Carolina. So I figured that's around JV's hometown. Same thing.
You love Ryan fan. You had your hooker.
And after some, jaw dropping and whatever, they decided it's road trip time. Woo! Road trip! Yeah! And it's during this road trip that, once again, I'm reminded that, this is not my Wolverine. This Logan, while I don't have a problem with somebody who cares about the kids, modern Logan is all like, it's all about the kids. Who's going to look out for the children? Oh, give me a fuck. Somebody give this man a tampon. I swear to God. You know what? Chop it off. Carve out the vag. That's all I got to say about this guy now. Really. And I do like Rogue with the big gold hoop earrings. Kind of salt and pepper-ish. Holla! Anyway, they drive down to, where the hell is it? Somewhere in the Appalachian Mountains near the West Virginia-Kentucky border. Yeehaw!
Now that's Jay's territory.
That's a fun border, let me tell you. Many a good times on that border.
Yeah, I can tell because they show a road sign that says Pros something, population 360, and there's a whole lot of buckshot on the sign. Yeah! Anyway.
Every sign has buckshot.
Red, you
I would imagine so. It's not like the stop signs we got up here, but anyway. They pull out the newfangled GPS cell phone with, Cerebro app. And they trace it to some house, and they try to figure out how they're going to go about, getting in and seeing what's going on. And, of course, Wolverine, because he's got such a mat on, because the children are involved, he's going to go in there and, take a heads-on approach. And if something should happen, then that's just kind of what happens. Of course, that's actually a pretty useful diversionary tactic, but whatever, and that's basically, what happens. But I'm disappointed with this because the way the story's told, he walks right in and, he starts asking questions. And they're like, hey, buddy, we know that you're not from around here. Yeah, we don't take kindly to you asking some questions.
We don't take kindly to your kind around these parts.
Exactly. And you get, Mr. Big Beard, bald guy, who, let's see, he says, reckon we're going to have to teach you some manners, holding up his fist. And then we don't get the fight. They show, you know, Wolverine getting punched by a guy, and it looks like he's actually taking a hit. And this guy should have, you know, kind of broken his fist punching him. But whatever. We don't see anything left. I mean, we don't see anything else for the rest of this book. You know, there's no butt kicking. It shifts over to the two women, Rogue and Kitty, as they're going around trying to find, you know, the mutant. And we see that there's a girl at this place who is sneaking around trying to find something, and she finds this bag of pills, and they're going, and this guy comes and he's like, "What? Hey, you don't belong there. Get the hell out of here. Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna carve a T into your skull," and it says thief, and she does something to him. She uses kind of that purple man ability. She says something. The guy's like, "I can't help but do it." She says, you know, like, "Oh, cool. Haha, you kind of fucked." And the girl, you know, she's making her way out, and she gets spotted by Kitty, who starts running through people, and she makes her way out the door, and Rogue catches her. And then she says something to Rogue, and Rogue's like, "I don't know what happened. I had my hand on her, and then she was gone." Okay. And then the girl runs and hides, and then somehow she calls somebody on the phone, and this guy's kind of like, "Now, you better not lead them over here, because we just got enough problems, and if you don't want your secret to get out, then you take care and you do what you gotta do." He's like, "Oh no, Jasper, please don't leave me. Jasper, I'm so scared." Click. "What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do?" And pop a pill. And
Jesus.
Then it's just kind of, she goes to sleep. I don't know what the hell happened. She just kind of fades out. And next thing you know, Logan, Kitty, and Rogue are looking at her hiding underneath the staircase. And there's nobody else around. It's like, well, what the hell happened to the fight? You know, shouldn't the cops have come? Shouldn't there be people running and screaming because, I don't know, Wolverine stabbed somebody? There's nothing here. You know, this is probably the most nonviolent X-Men book I've ever read. This, you know what this book is? This book should be like some type of PSA, you know, that they give out to children's hospitals or those
Don't talk to rednecks, kids.
I wasn't gonna say it like that, but you know, like those violence shelters. You know, where how the X-Men care. You know, because
how to guide on how to avoid deliverance.
Yeah, you know, I'm this is an X-Men book with Logan that has no violence.
Absurd.
Does that sound right?
That sounds. So, I didn't even know those two words could exist in a sentence together.
Yeah, this book is it's a kanji wrapped up in a kerflubble, wrapped up in a piece of I don't know what the fuck. So
wrapped in a vest.
Yeah, and it's got a nice scarf, but so they figure, you know, they talk to the girl, and you know, the women talk, you know, so because of course Logan's not gonna, you know, have that whole soothing thing, and they manage to get her to jump in the car, and they get her to open up a bit about what she can do, and you know, they're following the cell phone GPS Cerebro app to another house further out, and she's like, "No. We can't come into these woods. In these woods, there's bad stuff. It's really bad stuff. Bad juju. Bad stuff." You know. She sees Jasper, and nobody else does. And apparently, Wolverine doesn't smell him. And Jasper was. He says, "Oh my god!" And Wolverine looks, and he sees nothing. And then she says, "It's something in these woods. This place has always been cursed. Whatever's been killing people, you're going to find it out here." Ooh, whatever. So they get to the house, and the house looks abandoned and haunted. You know. And, of course, Wolverine goes to the front door again because, you know, that's what he does. And Rogue takes the back, Now there's a porno Rogue takes the back. Anyway.
Hell yeah. And then she gets stabbed by Grim Reaper. And
yeah, she takes the back and gets gutted.
Oh!
Then Logan sees an engine, and then he doesn't see her. He's like, huh? Mind playing tricks on me. Goes inside the house. House looks all, you know, untouched, cobwebs and whatever anywhere. And he makes his way through, and from the second panel down to the last panel on the page, you just see him sniffing and looking, but at that last panel, it looks like he done messed everything up as he went through. Because there's no real reason, just because. Regardless, last page, he comes in what I think is the kitchen, and oh, it's Sabretooth! Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Oh, Sabretooth. And
joy.
Yeah, it's
happy,
bleh. You know, it's not even surprising. It's just, so you found me. I guess it's time I got you like I did the rest. I'm not even, you know, like, ooh, it's Sabretooth. It's just kind of, oh, look, it's Sabretooth. This book had no heat. It had no passion. There was no anxiety. There was no, I don't want to say there's no action, but there was just nothing to drive it. This was a nice G-rated X-Men story. And while I don't need blood and guts for my book, I do need something that kind of, you know, puts a hair on a chest or whatever. This book did not have it. And for something that, this is a book that you would give, you know, little cousin Billy or Tamika, who, you know, comes up to your kneecap.
Billy or Tamika?
Yeah, Tamika, you know.
That's such a great name.
And they go, I have an X-Men book. I hate X-Men books are fine. You know, and you know that, you know, their mother wouldn't really appreciate you getting the stuff where, you know, aliens are getting gutted and, you know, using their entrails as hairdressing, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, you get them this book. I mean, really, this book is the primer X title to give to a young child. Because there's nothing, I would even say this isn't even a comic, really. You know, this is one of those little square books that you get in the library. You know, Junior's first book. See Wolverine care. You know, wow. The story itself, it's kind of old school, actually. You know, this is kind of the stuff that, you know, the X-Men used to do. They don't even use the Blackbird to go down to Kentucky. They drove. You know, they drove it, and I swear to God, the car looked like a Prius. It looked like a Prius.
Bullshit. There's no Priuses in Kentucky.
You know, I swear.
Johnny, back me up here.
This car was
Are there any Priuses like in Kentucky?
There's one, but we make fun of that guy.
Well, yeah, then you would make fun of this person. This comic is the Priuses of X-Men books. You know, I like the overall story, but its presentation and God help me, the how they riffed off Wolverine in this story is just, oh my god. So I don't know. I'll give it credit. Oh damn. Same guy did the stories, the same guy that did the art. Oh, I'm screwed here. I'm going to give it a 2.6. Because while I like the story, I like the general theme of the story. Going out trying to find a mutant who seems to be in help and finding out there's something else going on here. I don't really like how it's come out. The art is decent. You know, I thought the art, you know, kind of had that scratchy, what's his name that used to do Dan Ketch's Ghost Rider back in the day? Mark Teixeira. It kind of had that scratchy edge to it, and I like that. But this is so not your father's Wolverine. This is the Wolverine that eats water chestnuts and lettuce sandwiches. You know,
peace, love, and rock and roll, Wolverine. Dude.
Yeah, it's oh my, yeah.
John Denver Wolverine.
Yeah, actually, yeah. There you go. If John Denver was Wolverine, this would be the book that he's in.
Okay.
Somebody call it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Well, I look forward to reading the trade in May of next year.
I would say pass it.
Well, it's only $10 on Amazon. I want to read it.
Save it. Save it for some Turtles-y chocolate.
Hey, a lot can happen between now and then. I can always cancel the pre-order. It's nothing set in stone.
All right.
Anyways, so let's get right on to this segment for this special episode. Fan questions. First up, Doom. Doom.
He's lame.
Who's Doom? Fuck that guy.
You know what? He'd probably like that.
Oh!
All right.
Right in his little ear.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
If you go black, you go death.
Don't joke about ear fucking. It affected my parents.
All right. First up, let's go with Doom, where he basically asks, have you guys ever talked about Dr. Doom in your podcast? In fact, yes, we have. Taser, in fact, was that son of a bitch thrown up on trial and into brought up against crimes against humanity.
We talked about
him
today. We
also reviewed Doom more.
We've talked about Doom a lot.
We talked about him today, too.
Yes, we talked about Doom today. Doom 2099. And Doom and other things.
Yeah. Doom must possess a PS4.
Nah, Doom's...
Doom
you know what? If Doom was to own a console, it would... Fucker probably owns a stock in Microsoft somehow.
I would say he's a Sony guy.
That makes sense.
No. Are you kidding me in terms of subjugating people? That's fucking Microsoft's playbook all the way. He's a fucking Xbox One player.
Nah, but Doom has class, you know? No, he's an evil dictator.
He has no
class. He has
class. No, he doesn't.
He is a sophisticated dictator.
Stop trying to suck up to the listener.
What listener?
Doom. I'm pretty sure he's going to listen. We've talked about Doom. Yes. In fact, you can go back, like, I think 2 years ago when Taser had an epic rant against the ending of Doom War. So, yeah.
Still have yet to finish that title.
There's a good reason why you shouldn't.
All right. Booster Beetle had a question.
Oh, boy.
This guy who apparently is fearless as... other twin?
Be careful what you say.
He's your brother? Something? I don't fucking know. No. He's Thule McToolfuck. It says it in his thing. That's all I'm saying.
They tested, booster approved.
Oh, okay. So he basically asked, what do we talk about? Brian, tell him what we talk about.
Oh, we talk about just so much. I mean... all things Marvel?
Titties!
Let me check our title real quick. The Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I'm thinking it has something to do with Marvel, though I can't be sure.
We are not a Thor-centric podcast, though, even though I think Taser would actually like that more.
Although, God Bomb, as Johnny Appleton test, fucking ruled.
Yeah.
Yes, God Bomb.
God Butcher and God Bomb.
Yes. Yes.
The past couple years.
If you want a good Thor story, God Butcher and God Bomb are pretty, really damn good. So, yes.
Don't forget Agent Purple.
That shit.
Are you guys going to talk about Doom in your next podcast?
Probably.
I still say hell to the fuck no.
Probably.
Fuck that guy.
Probably.
He'd like that too.
We are very popular with the homosexual crowd. That's awesome. I love it.
Hey, they say would marry Johnny V right in the butt, man. That's how it works.
That was him and they say, okay?
Oh, boy.
Do it for the monies.
Okay, everybody, back into the pool.
All right.
Keep diving, yes.
Throw Brian in the shallow end.
Now for some serious questions from Mr. No Nonsense Cyclops fan WS. All right, here's the serious question. Do you have double standard for creative teams on new books? Would you give a proven/reliable team more issues before you drop a title? So basically, Taser, you go first because I already know your answer.
Fuck no.
Exactly. I already know his answer. He doesn't give a shit what name is on the title. It's just a matter of if the book is good or not. All right. For me, yes, I do. It's a double standard. If it's a... Actually, no. If it's a newer... If it's a newer team, I'm inclined to give it more of a chance because I don't know what to expect, and I'm generally intrigued by it. I'll give it more issues to develop. Whereas if it's like say Bendis or Fraction or Dan Slott or any other guys, I pretty much know their tricks to the trade and what they're going to do. Especially when it comes to a Marvel book, they're not exactly going to go too far out of their wheelhouse. So if shit's not turning fast, I already know. Okay, fuck it, I'm dead. I'm out. So that's if I don't like it. You know, so that's me. It's the other way around. I give newer people a chance because I like to be hip like that. And cool. Anybody else want to go next?
Ooh, his.
Yeah.
Let's get a $5 Starbucks and write your screenplay outside the window so everyone can see you typing.
Look, I'm writing. Yeah. Watch me write. Okay.
I'm writing this. My screenplay.
I will say it, Diane. I'm sorry. I will say that I'll give a more established team a chance, you know, like maybe 5 issues, whereas I might give a new team, like say 10, to kind of get their groove in and stuff, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I try not to have the double standard. But you know, anybody says that no, they don't. They, you know, with the exception of Taser, you know, they're probably kind of fibbing there because we all know that we want to read a title. If it's got a proven person on it, we're going to be like, okay, cool, we're in for it. And if it's some new guy, and if it looks like it's going to remotely suck, okay, I'm dropping it like this. You know,
Ghost Rider. Not
even... yeah.
I think that's a bit different, though. If you see something coming down the pike, I think how it approaches you, that's different than necessarily who's on it. You know, like Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider, I couldn't even tell you right now who's going to be on it, but the way the product is being presented, that tells me not a fucking chance. So
that's like years ago back in the on another company, James, I never knew of James Robinson, but he started on a title Starman, and
yes.
I gave him, I mean, he had it up and running within like 3 or 4 issues like that, and I was hooked. And had it been, say, someone else that might have been someone I heard, I probably wouldn't have given as much of a chance, you know. But he just had it different, did it good, and he clicked. And so, I mean, like I said, I try to give at least, you know, 3 or 4 issues. I mean, it's kind of harder now these days with the way the prices are and stuff. And you know, so there is not as long of a chance. You know, you'll give people as long as a chance to establish themselves unless they are the superstar writers. I mean, hell, I picked up Cataclysm because it had, you know, I knew it was Bendis and Bagley, you know, aside from the whole thing about the Ultimates. And I did it just because I knew the creative team on it, you know, was going to have a pretty decent chance of being good. Turned out not quite as good as it could have been, but, you know, this is how you go. And had it been some people I'd never heard of, like on the Ghost Rider one, probably wouldn't have picked it up, won't give it a chance. And whether that's fair or not, it's a whole other topic, but, you know, that's just how I feel. So.
Okay. Arnold, you were going to, what do you think, brother? Do you have double standard?
I'm a little in the same boat. I will give a newer group maybe a slightly bit more leeway, and it's evidence that with the books that I've dropped, I dropped pretty much every Avengers book but Young Avengers, that regardless of the creative team, if I don't like where it's going, I'll drop it. I may be a little sad about it, depending on what the book is. More recently, books have been getting canceled on me than me dropping them because I don't like them. Fucking bastards.
What? That should be our show title.
But, and you know, I give people different chances. Like, even with Kieran Gillen, I hated what he did in Uncanny X-Men, yet I'm loving everything that he's doing in Young Avengers. You know, so regardless of who you are, if you're not grabbing me, then right at the jump, especially if I know you're someone who's done it before in the past and has been able to do it within a set amount of time or set amount of issues, I'm a little bit more judgmental or harshing, judging on a bit more of a weighted scale, I guess. Newer guys,
if you are grabbing Arnold, at least buy him a drink first.
Exactly, that too. and a new creative team, I may give an arc unless I think it's completely horrible right out the gate. Then I'm just like, fuck this shit, then I'm done. And yeah, that's it.
Johnny V,
hold on, quick question: Kieran Gillen's a male?
Yes.
Yes.
No, but seriously, no, I swear to God, I always thought that was a woman.
He's,
the name sounds female.
Here's a little Warriors for History. Former member, co-founder Sheamus, he almost hooked him for an interview before he got super big.
Sheamus.
Shout about Sheamus. Yeah.
We missed you, Metallicore.
Yeah, we missed you, Sheamus.
We missed you.
You know, and I love this name, Sheamus.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, but we almost had him for an interview. Now it's probably impossible. Plus, he lives in England, and the time would be all fucking weird. Okay.
5 hours.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck it. Johnny V, do you have a double standard when it comes to creative teams?
Durr.
I'm guessing Johnny V doesn't. All right, we'll just come back to him then whenever he joins us again. All right. Last but not least, yes, Wes, we will.
God. I had my mic on mute and I forgot, and I just started talking.
I've done that too, so I can't say anything.
Do you have a double standard when it comes to creative teams?
Oh, absolutely, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. There's certain creators I will follow into the depths of hell.
I've already followed Grant Morrison into hell, so it's okay.
One of which isn't someone in the Marvel stable, but it's Brian Azzarello. I'm not sitting here talking about comics. His work on the Joker graphic novel didn't get me back into comics. So I will follow Azzarello anywhere he goes. On the Marvel side of things, it would actually be an artist who I would honestly read any book with Scotty. And it could be anything. It could be a terrible book, and I will probably still read it because Scotty Young is on it. So, I also like to give new creators chances. Like, there's been a lot of creators I've discovered who I didn't necessarily know about before, and Kieran Gillen is one of them. I remember when he did cleanup work on Thor after JMS left, and I was like, this is actually kind of even better than what JMS was doing. And I was like, wow. I was like, who's this Kieran Gillen guy? You know what I mean? And sure enough, you know, he's gotten to where he is. He's still not like you. I wouldn't say he's like the A talent, but he's getting there. I mean, to me, his work is just so much fun, and I'm glad I've supported him since I've known about him. Anyway, he may have had a lot of work before that run on Thor.
Yeah, he was. He got discovered because of some Image books he did.
Mitch was in it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So,
but again, like new in terms of whether I know, but yeah, I give newer creators a lot shorter leash than the ones I've already established. But I mean, to me, that's the way it always goes. You know, what you're used to is what you're used to. You know, it's like when you're buying consumer products, you know, you're going to give a longer leash to what you know to be high quality or not. So there's a double standard, but I think that's a good thing. I don't necessarily see that as a negative.
Okay, yeah.
Those are my thoughts.
Brian, did you answer the question?
No, I did not.
Okay, go ahead.
It's funny. I find that should I like a certain creative team, I give them more leeway if I'm following them out onto a limb with an indie book rather than I am one of the big two. I don't know what it is, but I think it has something to do with the fact that the same thing that makes you want to drop a book when a team does something is the same thing that makes you want to pick it up, which is that with each book there's a status quo, certain things have to remain the same, all other things change. But indie books, I find a team can go off and just be as fucking crazy as they want to be, and usually it pulls through. I mean, most indie books I've read by people who I got into from the main industry, I'm not sure many have disappointed me, if any, whereas that can't be said for certain industry books. So that having been said, I, of course, have a double standard. It's pretty much the same as what you guys say. If the team is established and I like their work, I'll follow them, give it a shot. If it's a newer team, then I'll be quicker to cut them off if I don't like them. I'd be like, nope, fuck you, and I throw it away. But then I'll probably end up rediscovering them a few months later on a new book they're working on.
So wasteful. Because
they get canceled. So, yeah, that's kind of where I sit on the whole thing. If it's a team I know on an indie book, I'll give them more leeway. It's a team I don't know, it's all in the quality, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. You communist son of a bitch. All right.
Damn straight, Skip.
All right, well, let's wrap this sucker up with a fun question, everybody. How about that in traditional Warriors 3
God,
fashion?
God, you sound exhausted, man.
Well, I kind of am. I had Black Friday, which leads us into the perfect question.
Whoa!
So... Black Friday, obviously,
it's gotta be black
because America hates black people.
People are killing each other. Taser.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the blacks started it all fine. Okay.
So obviously, this past Friday was Black Friday, or in some cases, started on Thanksgiving night. Fuck you, people who actually showed up. But anyways, so I decided to ask these guys if you could take one superhero, excluding the Hulk, superhero, not villain or antihero.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I said excluding the Hulk because that's too easy. That is too easy. Everybody can put it in the Hulk. If you could take...
Well, there goes me taking Frank Castle to the hardware store and having you explain how we kill people with various tools.
If you could...
I'm gonna go corner now.
The question would be, if you could take one superhero to go with you for Black Friday shopping, who would it be? And you know who mine would be first? And I'm hopefully one of y'all also have the same idea, but I would take Susan Storm with me to go Black Friday shopping. if I see a product, I say, hey, Sue, touch that. She can hide it. She can hold it. We can just walk around the store like nothing. Oh, look, we're ready. And then she needs to. She can get a little excessive without actually showing excessive force. So there you go, Sue Storm. Plus, she's really nice. She's pretty. There you go. Sue Storm, she will be my Black Friday shopping buddy. All right. Arnold, who would be your Black Friday shopping buddy?
I don't know. The list could go on and on. Fuck it. Emma Frost. I'm going to couple with that bitch.
Let me guess, you'd have her wear her outfit, start stripping, everybody pays attention, and you run through the store and grab shit?
Everybody.
I don't even need to do all of that. Because one, Emma's rich. And aside from the fact that Emma's rich, people just throw things at that bitch. And she's a telepath, so she can make people just throw things at her. I'm cleaning my house. Emma's going to be great. It's just going to be a grand, fun, shopping, bitchy time. It's going to be awesome. We can talk about how our ex-boyfriend is a tool bag.
Nice.
But then how you want to fuck him. So.
Damn right. Eat that. Me and Emma Frost out in the town. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Johnny V. I think you have an interesting one. Who is your Black Friday shopping day, buddy V?
If I'm playing it logically, Kitty Pride, definitely. Nice. Respect. I will phase through all them motherfuckers to get my $5.
No way to lie for me, bitches.
I'm phasing through all you bitches. You ain't taking my waffle maker for $5. I'm getting that waffle maker. Let's go.
It'd be awesome. Anybody's about to grab the thing that you were going to get, just make her hold on to it, and then nobody could touch it. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I can't even think of anything beyond her. That's just too good.
Yeah. Plus, she knows electronics. She knows where to go.
Yep.
All right, B-Rye. Who is your Black Friday shopping day buddy be?
Clint Barton. We'd miss the sale entirely and go get pancakes instead.
Nice.
Bro.
Nice.
I mean, have you seen the man's life? He's a train wreck. No way he's standing in line in the middle of the night for a fucking PS4.
Who needs that shit? Yeah.
He'd wake he up could at, probably like, get Tony Stark to make him a video game console.
Yeah, either that or he sets off some sort of EMP arrow. We just rob the store blind. Either or, really. Something's got to give.
All right. Taser, who is you going to be your Black Friday shopping?
Do John, because I got a double whammy
right,
for this.
All right. John, who's your Black Friday Black Friday?
A double whammy.
Oh, I'll have to go with Tony Stark. I mean, you know.
That's true.
You have to go in there, just be able to. Hell, he could just buy the effing store and kick everybody out, and we'd have.
There you go. Yeah. The American way.
Just like, fuck you bitches, the store is closed, we've gotten enough money for the next 2 years. You know, we're going to let these two guys just walk through, take what they want, try to come in, you get repulsed your ass out. And then we go for waffles afterwards.
That'd be awesome. No, it'd be shawarma. You got to go shawarma.
I've had shawarma. It's really good.
I've never had it. Okay. I don't think there's a shawarma place.
Greek. It's just a big pita full of meat.
I don't think there's a shawarma place in Austin.
In your mouth? What's that?
Then we also go to Tony Stark's House of Ribs, too, you know?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just pulled that out of your ass. That's hilarious. I know where that's from, John. I know where that's from. That's hilarious that you brought that up. For those of you who are wondering where that's from, go watch the special features on the Ultimate Avengers 2 DVD. Okay. All right, Taser, you said you got a double whammy. Who you taking on Black Friday?
Yeah, well, I'm going to use Mass Effect descriptors for this.
Okay.
I could go either Paragon or I could go Renegade.
Here we go.
If I go Paragon, I'm going with Captain America. Okay. And I'm going to grab. We're going to grab something. Get to the register and then just wait and see who else comes by with stuff and anything that they've got. I'm gonna send Cap in. He'll give them his America first and do it for the country. They'll drop it. I'll pick it up. And then we'll be on our business after about 6 or 7.
You use Captain America for extortion. That's awesome.
That's it. He'll sun them into giving up the goods.
Now, son, listen here.
That's right. Now, if we're talking Renegade, Wolverine, fucking gutting everybody. That's right. Getting ripped. As a matter of fact,
give him a fastball.
That's right. I'm getting everybody in the fucking store, you know? If you're not wearing a Best Buy or Walmart or, I don't know, some type of job tag, you'd better lie down. That's it. Just to slide down because what? I want that waffle iron. Gut. That's right. It's happening.
Renegade plus care. 40.
And pay for anything? The fuck out of here.
You don't even have to go to Black Friday to steal it anytime.
You know what? Screw this. I'm gonna do this old school Taser. I'm picking up the Punisher, and we're just waiting by the back door, Jack. That's right. I'm taking him. That's it right there.
Bastard! He was gonna tell how he killed someone with a fucking I don't know a tire changer.
I am Taser. Yeah. I am awesome. Believe it.
That's pretty good. This is some really fun picks. I'm not going to lie. This is really great picks. All right. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes episode number 150 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Buck Bennett!
Oh, shit. Time for the strippers and glitter. Hold on.
Does anybody remember when comics were buck 50?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, God. I remember when they were 35 fucking cents, dude.
Old man!
Yeah.
No, but the old men suck.
Buck 50 comics.
I came into the game at $2.
Wow.
$2.99.
$2.99.
High five, Trix. High five.
50 cents.
Hold on the line. $2.99.
50 cents.
Yeah, right.
Marvel was doing that all the time. Those were the days.
Remember when I bitched about with being a dollar? Good God, man.
Yeah, right.
Little did they
buying comics for a dollar.
I remember when you could actually go to the store with like $2 and come away with 4 comics. Mm.
What kind of fairy tale are you living?
What is this, 19th century?
Then,
first off, before we close, Johnny V, I know you have the comic book that you want to plug.
The nobodiescomic.com. There's a purchase page there. There's a free edition, so just read it for free. You don't have to pay me. So there you go. Check it out. Share it. Love it. Hope you like, maybe jerk off to it. That's your I don't judge.
It's spank material.
I get it done.
Arlo, do you have anything to plug tonight, Mudder Buddy?
Nope, not a whole lot going on at the moment.
Nathan's back on. Anyway.
All right. I guess I'll marvelousiggy.wordpress.blog, where virtually every single day you can read my content that I put out. Plus, every single Wednesday, I write a review for the GreenLanternCorps.com for every single new issue of Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, and Green Lantern New Warriors. New Guardians, I mean, whatever. So if you want to read my comic book reviews about the Green Lantern and the Green Lore, you can go read those, and those are fun, apparently. And I've actually had pros read them and respond to them, so that's also really effing cool. So yeah, Brian, what about you? Anything?
No, I'm good. All
right, so, gentlemen,
hold on.
Yes?
I just want to say that while I personally don't have a plug, I believe Paul Walker had a plug. Oh. It's for the Santa Clarita Forensic Department.
Oh,
sing.
Oh, man.
God damn it. Gentlemen, it's been an amazing 150 episodes. I can't believe it's been this long. January 1st, 2010, our first ever episode. We've been through some ups, we've been through some downs. We've some of us left, some of us come back. But it's been one hell of a ride either way. I wouldn't change it for the world. Here's
still rocking.
Still rocking.
That's right.
You know, I apologize.
Love you guys.
And you know,
I made a new friend from this show.
Yeah,
a whole bunch of new friends, but I made a new friend I can hang out with all the time from this show.
And of course, the next big time we all get together is for Guardians of the Galaxy, August 2014.
Alive, like alive.
We should.
Marvel slumber party.
I just give shit to Taser because the movie ends up being so fucking incredible.
All right, so
but then if it sucks, Taser has you over a barrel.
But it won't suck. That's how confident
I am.
Well, if the movie sucks, then Johnny Ville will be over the barrel. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh!
I'll show you all this shit.
No, wait a minute. That sounds like a bromance. Oh, never mind. I don't do
that
stuff.
Leave my romantic partner alone. You understand me? He's mine!
And with that, we're going to end episode number 150. See y'all next week for 151.
I love Lena! I like
no stop signs, speed limit.